Father's Day, we're going to just consider one verse this morning, found in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 12. I think you'll find this verse is no surprise to you. You can also find it in a slightly different form in the second giving of the law, Deuteronomy chapter 5, and verse 16. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. It didn't always used to be Father's Day in June. It was Sonora Dodd, who was in a worship service listening to a sermon back in 1909. And it was about Mother's Day. And she was sitting there and she thought, you know, this is great, Mother's Day. But I was raised by my father. Here's a girl who lost her mom when the last member of their family was born. She had five siblings. And when her mother gave birth to the last child, she shortly thereafter passed away. And so Sonora Dodd was raised by her father, William Smart. And she thought, I'd like to do something to remember him and to honor my father. And so she had a Father's Day celebration in Washington State, and it kind of caught on. And probably 10 or 15 years later, 1924, Calvin Coolidge liked the idea and thought, I want to do what I can do to make Father's Day continue forward. So in 1924, there was a National Father's Day, and then about 40 years later, Lyndon Baines Johnson declared Father's Day to be the third Sunday in June. By the way, June was when her father was born, this woman. And then in 1972, under Nixon, he made it permanent that it would put into law that this would be an annual Father's Day recognition. Honor your father. So here we are. And we think about this scripture we just read. And I consider Ted Turner's words, founder of the cable news network. He told a convention that the Ten Commandments are out of date. And he suggested that we have instead the Ten Voluntary Initiatives. And it's sometimes been said that what Moses brought down from Mount Sinai were not the Ten Suggestions. And so we find before us this one commandment, the fifth commandment. And so if we're under a command from God, and the Ten Commandments, that's universally agreed in Christian, Judeo-Christian circles, that they're still binding. And if we have this fifth commandment binding upon us to honor your father, what is expected of us? And find it interesting, by the way, that the commandments, the way that God gave them to us, the first half, are really vertical, about not having any other gods before us except our Lord. And the second half relate to how we relate to each other. And at the top of the relational commands is for you to honor your parents. And how are we to do that? Well, if you look at this command itself, just taking the word for honor, to honor your father and mother, the word honor is the word kabod, like in the name Ichabod, probably not one you've named your own child, but the word kabod means to make heavy, which probably doesn't tell you too much right offhand, to give weight to. So honor your father has something to do with give weight to. And some of us guys who are getting a little older, getting a little, midlife stomachs, we probably don't need certain kinds of weight. any more for you to give us that. So you can keep a lot of the chocolates away. But I'll give you some examples from the Scripture as to what this might do for us or might mean for us, for you to honor your father, whether he's still living or has deceased. 1 Kings 10:2. We see the Queen of Sheba. She comes to visit Solomon, and Solomon, is the wisest man in the world. And it says that the Queen of Sheba came to Solomon and talked with him. When she arrived at Jerusalem with a, quote, very great or heavy caravan. There it is. There's the word. A great caravan or a heavy caravan. The word for honor. And it says she came with camels carrying spices, large quantities of gold, and precious stones. Same word. Heavy caravan, honor. Here we see her honoring Solomon with this abundance of gifts. In 1 Samuel 4:18, it's a bit more crass and literal, where we see the priest Eli, who is simply called a heavy man. Heavy man. Man of honor. Well, you know, obviously, as you read some of these texts, or we think of Moses, when he's praying, remember Joshua and Amalekites are fighting, and Moses is praying, and he's getting tired. It says his hands are getting heavy. That's it. Honor. They're weighted. The hands are just, there's a weight to pulling them down. And so at the basic meaning of the word for you to honor someone has to do with to give special weight to set forth an abundance, if you will. If you want to look at just the common use for the word, for the common opposite word, the antonym, the most common antonym for kabod is kalal, which is means to trifle, or to, for you to treat lightly, to esteem or regard in a light manner. That would be the opposite. And of course, to honor would be to esteem and regard in a heavy manner, a serious manner, in a profound manner, to take serious the person you're to be honoring. And of course, today that person is father, your father. And now that we know that what the core meaning of father is, honor is, how does it unravel? What does that look like as we begin to give special weight or special weighty consideration to our fathers? John Calvin says this is it. He says it gets down to reverence, obedience, and gratefulness. At the bottom line, as you give a weighty consideration to your father, regardless of how good or how bad or how indifferent, Calvin says it has something to do with your reverence, your obedience, and your gratefulness to your father. Reverence. That's a tough one when you think about it. Trying to honor fathers in today's society with a reverential attitude, to revere them. When you think about for a minute all the TV models, the role models we're getting, you know, it goes back at least as far as Archie Bunker, and I don't know how much TV you watch, but these guys are out there, and these are the images you get. You get Archie Bunker with his shallow, prejudiced way of dealing with people, followed by men like Al Bundy, married with children, another shallow individual, say the least, Homer Simpson, hardly any common sense whatsoever, an IQ of a peanut, perhaps. Today's a Family Guy with Peter Griffin, man of the house, but only by default. And the list goes on. And even the likable figures that you get, more favorable, some with family, some without, you know, whether you get Everybody Loves Raymond or Doug from King of Queens or Tim Allen, a likable guy in Home Improvement. These are weak figures. and they're weak men and low likable. And so it's hard for us to, in their fatherly role, to revere them and to esteem them as father. And yet that's a major part of what we're called to do in honoring fathers. Someone has said this is what it means to honor or to revere your father. To revere your father means to never do anything that undermines his dignity. Certainly not what the TV shows us. Not to do anything that undermines his position or authority as your father. Or to put it in the positive, do whatever you can to maintain your father's dignity, whether he's living or dead. Do whatever you can to recognize that position and to cooperate and affirm that authority, acknowledge it. Well, which leads us naturally into obedience, because they're very similar. Reverencing somebody, which is an expression of honor, also means, at minimal, obeying them. And of course, this is assumed you're still under their authority. For those of you who are still in the house, you don't have your own household, you know, because the Scripture does say that the general rule of thumb is a man shall leave his father and mother, right? And then he either takes to himself a wife or typically starts his own household, though he may be single. And so when you make that movement to have your own household, you're no longer under the authority of your dad, mom. Obviously, they may give you advice, solicited or unsolicited, but which you don't have to obey anymore. But you do well at least to pretend like you're listening, if you know what I mean. But obedience is required if you're under the household of your parents, and particularly, in this case, listening to your own father. And we see that clearly, this meaning coming out in Ephesians chapter 6, where St. Paul links the two clearly together. When he says, children, Ephesians 6, 1, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then he quotes the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, which is the first promise, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, that you may enjoy long life on earth. Paul underscores the fact that he says, look, as you obey those in authority over you, you can expect a blessing from God. And the commandment really says you can expect a fruitful, a long life on earth. And so the general rule of thumb is that, like in Romans chapter 13, where it says that when God gave authorities, and He put authorities over us, the rulers of whatever level, that these are all ordained of God. And that every authority is to be obeyed because God has put it over you. And whether you like the personality, dislike, and that goes whether it's at the government level or whether it may be in the private level of the home. You know, the church, as the three circles are typically of the world, is described as the church, and then the society, as the government, and then in your own home. And as we obey those authorities, there's a blessing that we should expect will follow behind us. Doesn't mean you can't have a conversation. Doesn't mean you can't converse and try to get your own way. But sooner or later, decisions are made. And then if you're under those authorities, the way you're supposed to respond is to honor that authority. And then you expect God's blessing and prosperity as you're acting under the umbrella. It's kind of like someone said, you know, imagine it's raining down on you. And you don't want to be all wet, do you? Well, step out from under the umbrella, under the authority, and just do your own thing, and because you don't like the way the authority is moving you. If they're not moving you into sin, folks, stay under the umbrella. That's especially true in the context of the home, as parents and the father is making decisions that affect those under the authority. In fact, you know, I find it, I go back to this passage often, but I find it quite startling that Jesus comments about the authorities in the church in the first century. And everybody knows that the Pharisees were by and large unbelievers. And yet they controlled a big portion of the church, of the, you know, the religious establishment, the synagogues, if you would. And in Matthew 23, verses 1 to 3, look at what Jesus says. Jesus says to the crowds, and I'm quoting, He says to the crowds and His disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in the seat of Moses. So practice and observe whatever they tell you. But don't do what they do. For they preach, but they don't practice." You see, it's like a guy, the father says, you know, father says don't smoke, and then he goes out in the back porch and puffs away or whatever. Don't smoke. Just because he's out there smoking doesn't mean he doesn't have the authority to tell you not to. I mean, that's just a simple example. But the point being is it has nothing to do with smoking. It has everything to do with the point it's trying to make is that authorities over us, we might not like where they're coming from, but we can expect God's blessing as we recognize the God-appointed position and obey that authority as those decisions come down, whether it's putting a child to bed at 9 o'clock or 7 o'clock or 12 o'clock. It's God's way of doing things, even when the judgment may not seem to be the best or the character may not seem to be the best. That which raises another question. How do you honor a father who never really has been a father figure? One, I mentioned you can have obedience, but there's more than that. You can basically wish them God's grace. You can wish and call down God's grace upon them, even though they might not have been the kind of father you wish you might have had. And sometimes the poets say it better than speakers. And Gemma Ruffinock put it this way about a father apparently wasn't the best in her life. She says, "Where are you, Papa? Mama says you left her when I was still inside of her. She says you never cared and that I deserve far less. When I was young and possessed an exploring mind, sometimes I would pretend how much you missed me. It was a daydream that felt real to me. There were days I'd wait at the gate, and every time a plane passed by, I'd look up in the sky, wishing it's because of me that you're finally coming home to see. I grew up not knowing you, always wondering, where were you? I was the target of ridicule for not having a father to look up to. I'm now all grown up, have a family of my own. Most kids have two grandfathers. Mine are blessed with one. There is one day set aside for you and all the others yet to be and already, a very special day to celebrate just for being a father. So here's to you, a heartfelt wish every day, and on Father's Day, I send my love your way. Wherever you are, I think of you. Whatever you do, may God bless you." One way you can honor your dad, even though for some of you he might not have been the kind of dad that you wished he might have been, Hey, you can wish for him the very same thing God wishes for you. You know, you don't deserve the grace of God. None of you. We deserve the judgment of God, don't we? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And yet here we are. He makes the rain to shine, the rain to fall and refresh the earth. He makes the sun to shine on us. Everybody can enjoy a beautiful day like this. And we enjoy bathing in the grace of God. And so, whether your fathers are good, bad, indifferent, somewhere in between, always wish them grace. This is how you can honor them. And wish that, even if they're long gone, wish that somehow their legacy, somehow that God would use it to make the world a better place, that we all may enjoy the grace of God. And if your father is deceased, say he is long gone, like my own father passed away a number of years ago, how might we honor them? I mean, obviously we can't obey them at this point. What we can do, there are a few suggestions. Maybe some of you do these. You could do it today or moving forward. Let me give you a handful of suggestions. What to do if your father has passed away to honor him. You can bring out the pictures. Yeah, you're going to take off. You're probably going to get together and eat a lot of you somewhere. Bring out the photos and start talking about some of your experiences together. Or interview and talk to some people. Talk to somebody that actually knew your dad. And just say, tell me more. What did you see in him? Tell me something. And begin to remember him through a friend. Or why don't you think about some of his attributes? Like, for example, his humor. Maybe he had good comic sense. Maybe he was mild and gentle. And try to copy it in your own life. Or, if you will, pull some of your kids aside and try to explain to them what you see about your dad in these kids. And maybe some of your own kids, the grandchildren. Or in your own life. What do you see of your dad in you? And share it with your family members. Or some of you visit your father's graveside. If it's nearby, take a trip in the near future to the grave. Maybe you'll feel closer and honor him in a greater way. Or maybe you just need to spend time alone. Just say, I'm going to take a half an hour and I'm just going to get away from everybody and think about my dad. Pray and have him alone on your mind. Some of you might want to, if your dad liked being in the water, like riding boats or maybe like basketball or something, pick up a ball and just go out and do something he would do. You know, or go out near the water, walk around the lake. And something that he would enjoy himself. Or maybe finally you can remember and honor him by making a Father's Day donation to your dad's favorite charity. Wouldn't that be something? By the way, you can get a copy of a number of these Father's Day tips at ehow.com, where I used as a resource. Well, I want to say a few words about some of you fathers and mothers who are with children still at home. I want to speak directly to the dads, and I'll include by parentheses some moms. Some of you still have kids at home. I just want to say that we think about memories of our own fathers, but you're making memories right now. You're making memories right now. And some of you might need to block more time in your schedules for your kids. You know, once they grow up and move out, that's it. You missed your chance. It won't happen again. And if you're still home, you still got some time to impact them. As I said, sometimes the poets say it better. And you may remember these words. It says, I took a piece of plastic clay and idly fashioned it one day. And as my fingers pressed it still, it moved and yielded to my will. I came again when days were past. The bit of clay was hard at last. The form I gave it, still it bore. And I could change that form no more. I took a piece of living clay and gently pressed it day by day and molded with my power and art a young child's soft and yielding heart. I came again when years had gone. It was a man I looked upon. He still that early impress bore, and I could fashion it no more. You know, by God's grace, some things are reversible. By the grace of God, God can change some things in our kids as once they get older. But let me just tell you, as the poem shows us here, you know, you basically get one chance. And as a parent, and I tell you, a lot of you guys are really investing yourself big time into your kids. The ones you still have some kids, just do what you can while you got their attention. Maybe you don't think you got their attention, but at least they're in your presence and they're around you. You know, they see your model, and this is your opportunity to do the best you can do. And because it won't be long before they're grown. And seize the day while you can. Finally, just the last point I want to make is I mentioned two of Calvin's points. Get back to honoring your fathers. It was a word for your dad, the dads there especially. But Calvin says we can honor them, you know, by giving heavy weight, heavy consideration, through reverencing them, through obedience to them. And finally, the gratitude. You can show honor by having a grateful heart. I love the verse there in Colossians chapter 2. He says, let your lives overflow with thanksgiving. We're called to be thankful for the contributions our fathers have made. And at least all of us, we can say at least this much. Hey, if it weren't for your dad, you wouldn't be here. And most of us can say way much more than that. How they sweat out money to make a living so that, you know, they can put food and bread on your table. How they, many of you have spent time, especially in this generation, parents, it seems like these kids got 10 zillion activities and their parents are spending, you know, time with their kids, so on and so forth. We ought to be thankful. Those of you who have had your dad to invest themselves into you, giving you time and space and many other ways, caring for your health, education, and right down the line. And we need to reflect often on what our fathers have given us. Hopefully, for many kids will be able to say later on, it was my dad's modeling, as Kathy says, and a quotation from a young lady named Kathy. She said, it was my dad's modeling a father's love that made it so easy for me to accept God, the Father's love. And for many of you, they're going to catch and have caught your Christianity. Some of you have caught your Christianity from your dad or maybe from your grandfather or some fatherly figure. But finally, I say, folks, if we're under command, we're not under a suggestion. You're to give heavy consideration to your father. Heavy consideration. It's a command from God. It's binding on you. And part of that is to be thankful for whatever he's given you in terms of finance, in terms of wisdom, in terms of investing his sweat and equity, whatever, where to give thanks. And live like a thankful person. You know, your father, with your mother's help, has given you birth. And, of course, give thanks for the Father above who's, by faith, gives you new birth into a family that will last forever. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for for the new birth that's ours through Jesus Christ. Thank you that we are born by the gift from the Father who sent His Son to give us new life. And Lord, thank you for the fathers on earth that many have encouraged us along the way to find the Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for this scripture, for this command you've given us, and we pray that you would help us to give heavy consideration, to give honor to the fathers below here on earth, and you, our Heavenly Father, above. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.